Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
Well, I want to minister this morning. I don't say this lightly, but I can just perceive the realm of the glory of God in the room this morning. And I believe that God wants to speak deeply to our hearts today. And so I want us to just appreciate that as the word goes forth today, the Bible says this of itself, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God is going to release more faith into the room as the word of the Lord is preached today, because God's going to watch over his word and he's going to perform it. And the only thing that we have to concern ourselves with is the receptivity, the soil of our hearts, as Jesus talked about it in the parable of the sower. That what we want is to not have weeds of concern and things crowding in to try to fight for it, and the birds of the air trying to snatch away, and the hardness of just, you know, constant wear and tear causing for the seed of the word to bounce off. But what we want is a furrowed and plowed and ready heart for the word of the Lord to go deep. And so I just declare that today the word of the Lord has free course in this room, that God is capturing our attention so that we can hear what he wants to say. I don't know if you've ever had someone ask you, but what difference does faith in God really make? Isn't it just a crutch for people? Maybe a crutch for people who just are maybe gullible or impressionable. These skeptical kinds of questions are often lobbed from the hearts and minds of those who have either just been disappointed in their journey of prayer and faith and have built up a resolve against the realm of faith because of disappointment, prayed for a miracle that didn't happen and their heart went hard. Or it has come from those who have really never been through anything and therefore there hasn't been a need to actually reach beyond themselves because all things considered, they're pretty well, you know, self-sustained. But when you are in the middle of circumstances beyond your control, it's good to know the one who is in control. And such knowledge is not cerebral and it's not wishful. It's the bedrock of stability in the ever-changing realities of life's circumstances. I am aware of, as we grow as a church family, the need to perpetually tell our stories. I think it's important for us to tell our stories to one another and share the faithfulness of the Lord. And we talk about turning the sod in the Dominican Republic and Sarah's place, that goes to a deep place in our hearts as a family and as a church family. That it was just over 8 years ago that our youngest daughter, Sarah, was diagnosed with a terminal illness. We sat with doctors and they kind of just described, they started to talk in the language of prognosis, which we just promptly asked them to stop because prognosis is just a best guess with negativity attached. And we anchored ourselves to a prognosis of faith and found ourselves in a three-year journey of navigating life and death decisions, medical decisions, just the weight of caring for Sarah in the midst of her treatments and navigating the normal of life. And some of you know what I mean when all of a sudden you have a new normal that you didn't bargain for. Just the normal was not normal and that normal never returned. And navigating, you know, raising our other kids in the midst of their questions and in the midst of what they were facing and their realities. And then it's coming up in just a little better than a week that it'll be the 5-year anniversary of when Sarah passed away, November 29th, 2012, passed away, went to be with Jesus. And while we know and we are assured that that is promotion, that is the hope that we all share, that is glory, that is good, that is amazing, the human heart still nonetheless on this side feels the weight of missing. And the grief of grieving a child I think is more than, most grief is associated with missing who was. Grieving a child is not only missing who was, but missing who would have been. Missing, who would Sarah be now? What would she be doing? Those types of things that are very near to the heart. And they're places that my heart can't fully revisit because of the depth of pain in some of those seasons. But what I can revisit is the strength of the presence of God in the midst of it all. And it's from that place that I want to preach this morning. Not theory. But the word of the Lord and a living testimony of the word of the Lord from Psalm 46, if you would turn there with me this morning. And I want us to look this morning at the presence, the river, and the works of the Lord. Psalm 46 becomes oxygen to a believer in difficult circumstance. Sometimes the charismatic church, Pentecostal church, the, you know, everything in the Bible is possible today church, can struggle with difficult circumstance because we gear our faith, and appropriately so, for the miraculous turnaround of difficult circumstances. And we gear our faith, and appropriately so toward breakthrough and for healing, miracles. And when we are absent from conflict, we read the stories of breakthrough from the standpoint of that the best part of the story is the breakthrough, which is understandable. But there is a journey behind every story of breakthrough. And a miracle story indicates that something was so broken that only God could intervene with a miracle. I know that makes perfect sense, but the fact is that in order to have a miracle, something has to be wrong. We love miracles, but that means that we have to inherently embrace the fact that within the journey of life, there are some things that come along and happen that aren't what we saw coming. And when things collide into your life that you didn't see coming, it can be a very disorienting experience. It can be a faith crisis experience, and depending on the severity of the calamity, it can either drive you toward the Lord or away from the Lord based on the posture of your heart. I believe that difficult circumstances don't change the heart. They expose what's in it. If you had a glass that was filled to the brim and you bumped it, whatever's in it is going to come out. That's how it works. So Psalm 46 puts us in the juxtaposition of the presence of God and difficult circumstance. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah, which means to just pause in the presence of the Lord. Pause and reflect. Whenever you're reading the Word of God and you see the word therefore, you need to back up and see what it's there for. That's really good. You need to back up and understand that a therefore statement is related to what was previously just stated. So when the word of the Lord says, therefore, we will not fear, it deserves a second look. When someone can say, I have a reason to not fear. I have a reason to remain undisturbed in the challenges and the circumstances of my life. And they precede that statement with a therefore. It does us well to back up and see what is it that produces that level of confidence in the face of calamity. And this psalmist says, I am not afraid in the midst of calamity because of the presence of God. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. though the mountains quake and though they fall into the heart of the sea and the earth is quaking and splitting apart and the waters roar and foam, it's describing calamity, earthquake, hurricane, volcano, whatever. It's just, you know, it's describing just the world shaking and erupting. And this psalmist says, because God is my refuge and strength and an ever-present, not a distant, but an ever-present help in the time of trouble. It is from that vantage point that I can say, therefore, I will not fear, though everything around me looks nothing like it did when I woke up this morning, when my normal changes, when calamity comes, when bad news is given, when there is a shaking or a disturbance, I can say before it comes, I have a confidence that I can get through it. How? Because God is with me. He's an ever-present help in the time of my trouble. He doesn't cause me to avoid all trouble. He's with me in the midst of it. Consider Jesus with his disciples on the boat. They're out, you know, the Bible records different times when the disciples and Jesus were on a boat. One of the instances talks about how a storm whipped up and the disciples were so scared, they thought they were going to die, and Jesus was fast asleep, and they rouse him, and he just gets up, and he speaks to the wind and the waves. He speaks to Psalm 46. He speaks to the surging of the ocean. He speaks to the shaking and the tumult and the sense that their doom was imminent, and he just says, peace, be still, and it's quiet. The storm stops. Everything ends. That is more, I'd like to propose, that's more than merely a change in circumstance. That was completely changing the atmosphere. What Jesus spoke in that moment had a farther reach and a greater effect than just the disciples themselves. When Jesus said, peace be still, while standing in a boat that was being overtaken by waves, when he spoke, peace be still, it didn't just affect them in their immediate circumference, but the peace began to travel across the atmosphere and change everything around. What is preached in this building is shaping the culture outside of it. The prayers that you pray in your workspace, in your cubicle, on the shop floor, it's changing the things that happen throughout the day. The scripture that you declare over your children every morning and night, that is producing fruit that you will see later in life. The worship that you offer to God is welcoming the manifest presence of Jesus into your situation. Even this morning, as we begin to just focus on Jesus, for some of us this morning, that might have been having to put away the creeping thoughts of the calamity, and worshiping above the storm is a determined choice when you can still feel the lapping of the waves and the trembling beneath your feet. To determine, I'm going to give my praise to God, is a bold choice, but to do it, even as in this room we've experienced, the glory and the presence of God begins to shift the atmosphere around us. It's more than just changing my circumstance. It's changing the atmosphere beyond me. He's got a word that goes beyond. And so what we see in Psalm 46 is that circumstances don't determine my level of peace. The presence of Jesus with me, that's where my peace comes from. I've been given time lately to consider this thought, the impact of our awareness, my awareness of the presence of the Lord. And I'll preach on that after it's had more time to simmer in my spirit. But for now, I'll say this. Whatever we are most aware of is what we expect to receive from. Whatever you're most aware of is what you will expect to receive from. If I'm focused on the earth giving way and the mountains falling into the heart of the sea, if I'm focused on the foaming surge of the oceans, what happens is when I become most aware of that, that's where my expectation is. I begin to expect the impact of those outer events on me. I begin to just see that as the only thing that's going on. But the psalmist declared here in Psalm 46 that his awareness of the presence of the Lord caused for him to see beyond the calamity that was around him. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in the time of trouble. I'm in trouble, but God's here with me. I'm in trouble, but I'm also in the presence of God. And I flip the equation and I recognize I'm in the presence of God. Trouble just happens to be around me. And I will not fear. Why? Because He's with me. Because He's with me. The awareness of the presence of the Lord enabled the psalmist to look to the untouchable refuge and the matchless strength of God. It allowed him to recognize that that was available to his circumstance. And I want to tell you the same is available for us today. It's available to you today to become so aware of the presence of the Lord that the things of earth would grow strangely dim. Even if those things are loud and calamitous, I want to say to you, your awareness of the presence of the Lord can establish a level of peace inside of you that though the waves keep coming at you, there is one greater than the storm. There is one greater than the quake. There is one greater than all that is happening on this earth below. He stands above it all. And when I recognize He stands beside me, I can be at peace. I can be at peace. This is an encouraging perspective shift. It's a choice to look elsewhere. It's the choice to look to the one who can stop the storm in a moment. And if He's with me, then no matter what, if the storm continues to rage or He stops it, no matter what, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Let's keep reading. Verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. There is a river. This is an interesting perspective shift. After the Selah, after the pause in His presence, after the musical interlude and just contemplating what's just been said, God's my refuge and strength and ever-present help. In the time of my trouble, I won't fear, though everything's just taken a dive all around me. Selah. Then the psalmist comes back and begins to talk about the river. And I'd like to say to you that this river is not just talking about any river. This is talking about the personification of the Holy Spirit, the river of God. In the midst of difficult circumstance, there is a river that flows through your life in every season. There is a river that is flowing in your life. If you've given your life to Jesus, there's a stability. With the answer to the question, what difference does faith in God make, is even when there is storming going on all around me, there is a river that brings joy to the peace of my heart. There's a river that flows in the city of God that changes my perspective on what I'm going through. There's a river. It's the Holy Spirit. The activity of the Holy Spirit releases joy on the people of God. Joy in the midst of an earthquake. Joy in the midst of calamity. Guilt-free joy. How can you laugh with what you're going through? Well, there's a river that brings joy to the people of God. What difference does faith make? The difference that faith makes is that I actually can see beyond where I am right now. And I actually can partner with the person of the Holy Spirit, and He can actually produce joy in me when the circumstance wants to suck the last drip of joy out of me. It's not coincidental that the word of the Lord says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's not coincidental that joy being your strength is often the first thing that is sacrificed on the altar of circumstance. I can't find anything to be happy about. Well, that's different. But joy, a sustained awareness of the activity of the Holy Spirit, is not just a future reality or a possibility, but this is a part of the ever-present reality of the presence of God in our lives. When confronted with fear or calamity, the joy of the Lord is still your strength. No matter what's going on, there is a mighty river flowing in the temple of God that can make you glad. A river, however, is full of its own activity and direction. Our job is to surrender. Our job is not get in and try to force our own agenda against the current. Our job is to recognize if there's a river that's flowing through me and flowing for me, I just need to surrender and go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. I need to learn how to partner with the moving of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 says, God is within her, where the city of God, the people of God. She will not fall, and God will help her at the break of day. Circle that. Verse 5 is telling you that when you're in the middle of a difficult circumstance, you can have reason to have hope for tomorrow. God's going to help you at the break of day. Might not be just the very next day, but I want to tell you, and I need you to hear this more in kind of the poetic understanding of what I'm saying, is that tomorrow will come. Or I'll say it this way, this too shall pass. The season will shift. A new day will come. God will help, and there will be the break of a new day. And sometimes when we find ourselves in difficult circumstance, we feel stuck in that moment, and we feel as though all the joy is gone, not just because of this circumstance, but because of what it's produced around me circumstantially. How can I look into the future and see any joyful possibility? How can I look that way and see that there be anything good before me? Sometimes the greatest lie the enemy would want to say is that your best days are behind you. But God says, I'm going to help you and I'm going to break open a new day. There's a new day on the other side if you just partner with the river of the Spirit. There is a river that brings joy to the people of God. And we need to learn how to partner with the river of the Holy Spirit and understand that we don't have control over the storms. We don't have control over the circumstance. But we know that there is a good God who is ever present with me. And if he hasn't changed it in the way that I prefer, there is still a source and a river of joy that's available to me. And I can look into a future and say, God, that river's flowing and you have something good for me on the other side. Amen. And that produces a faith that causes us to recognize that you can guilt-free look into the future and recognize that God didn't bring the trouble to me, but he had something for me. And on the other side, I'm moving through and I am going to laugh again. I'm going to have joy again. There's a river that's flowing. Keep looking forward and don't get stuck in your moment. Every time I fly in a plane, I always love that moment, especially if it's kind of a dreary day. I always love that moment when you just lift beyond the clouds. Because every day, even if it's the darkest, dreariest day here, if you've ever been in a plane, it's sunny somewhere. And if you can get high enough, it's sunny right where you are. If you can have a perspective shift. If you can get above the clouds, that's why the word of the Lord says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, and you'll run and not get weary, and you'll walk and you'll not faint, and you'll rise up with wings like eagles. You'll actually begin to soar. And the more you wait, the more you become aware, the more your perspective begins to shift, and you can get above it and realize that's really big to me right now, but above the clouds, there's a shining light, and God is good to me. There's reason to have hope. There's reason to have hope. Verse 8, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. In the midst of this psalm, what the psalmist wraps up with, he calls our attention to three distinct realities. First of all, he calls our attention to the presence of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength and ever present, his presence. He's an ever present help in the time of trouble. He calls our attention to the river of the Lord, that there is a river that flows and it makes the city of God glad. It makes our hearts glad. God's going to help us at the break of day. There's a break of a new day because the river of God is flowing. And thirdly, the psalmist calls our attention to the works of God. Come and see the works of God. If you're in the middle of it right now, I want you to write this down. Focus on what God is doing. The psalmist didn't say, remember something good. That's awesome. But sometimes a past breakthrough, when you feel like that's the only thing that you can hold on to, sometimes it starts to antagonize. Well, then where is God now? And the psalmist doesn't say, just remember, that's good. But in this instance, he says, come and see what God's doing right now. And you're in the middle of it. Sometimes you can actually allow that circumstance to become so big that you actually go to the plane metaphor. You can actually believe that it's dark and dreary everywhere. But you can get to a higher place and recognize God's doing something right now. Come and see what God is doing. This is what Jesus tried to encourage John the Baptist in when John the Baptist, you'll remember, was put in prison for confronting sexual immorality in the political leaders of his time. And when he spoke to that, they put him in prison. And he sat in that prison cell and he began to get focused on those walls and he began to get focused on his confinement. And he began to think about the mission statement of Jesus from Isaiah 61, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor and the recovery of sight for blind and freedom for captives. And he kept freedom for captives, and the record started to skip. Freedom for captives, freedom for captives, freedom for captives. Looked at a prison wall, freedom for captives. Looked at the door, freedom for captives. Looked at the chains on his wrist, freedom for captives. Closed his eyes, freedom for captives. 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 Hey, Jesus, are you the one who's to come? Or should I expect somebody else? The address to the jail is 450. Signed, Freedom for Captives. And when that note was delivered by John's disciples to the hand of Jesus, Jesus paused. He didn't glance over it. He recognized the grief of circumstance in John's heart. And he paused to bless John publicly. What a man of God. There's been no one like him. No other Old Testament prophet was as great as John the Baptist. But let me tell you, the least in the kingdom is going to be greater than him. Go back and tell John what you see and hear. And then Jesus skips freedom for captives. Talks about the good news being preached and blind eyes being opened and some of the other items from his mission statement. Doesn't rebuke John for his doubt or his question. But what's he do? He calls him to Psalm 46, verse 8. Come and see the works of the Lord. Come and see what I am doing. Without stumbling over, here's the expert level. Without stumbling over what I'm not doing. Jesus says, go tell John what you see and hear. And then he says, blessed is the person who's not offended because of me. Well, why would you be offended? Three words. Freedom for captives. That's offensive when you're in chains. And you have a promise and a reality that don't meet. Anybody? What do I do when my reality and the promise, when those gears just won't mesh, just won't catch? And I keep praying, keep believing, keep claiming, keep standing, keep declaring. Freedom for captives. And Jesus called John the Baptist out of the offense that can creep into our hearts when our little cell becomes our whole universe. And what I'm going through has become the verdict on the goodness of God and the ability of God. And when I allow that to happen, offense can creep into my heart, which is why Jesus said, you're blessed if you're not offended by me. Tell John, it's happening. I am who I say that I am. I am who the Spirit of God breathed into him as a fetus. I am who he saw when the Spirit of God said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. I am who he knows that I am. I understand the wrestle, but you're blessed if you're not offended. Sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of difficulty. Here's what I want to say to you this morning. In your difficulty, you're not in it alone. God is our refuge, an ever-present. He's right there with you. He's right there with you. John, the Spirit of God is on you. He's with you. There's a river, John, if you can find it. That river that flowed in you as you preached and people came into the wilderness to be baptized by you and people left their towns and you preached by an anointing. People even thought you were the Messiah. John, that river that you tapped into of anointing to prophesy in such a way that would turn a nation and be a forerunner, a voice of one crying in the wilderness. John, there is a river that's still flowing and it can nurture your heart with gladness. Even in the midst of what isn't happening for you, it's not the verdict on the ability or the goodness of God. Come and see the works of the Lord. Come and see what he is doing. There is a necessity when you're going through it that you find current testimony that nurtures your faith so that you can actually have faith to believe that God could reach even to your circumstance. And listen, not only that, it keeps your heart soft that while your storm may still be raging, God is still at work somewhere. There's a sunny day somewhere. This isn't everything that's happening. This is where I'm at right now, but it's not the verdict on who God is. God is at work. How's God at work? Verse 9 says that he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. That means that God cancels attacks and assignments that have your name on it. God cancels attack. God does preemptive strikes. He ends those things that are aimed at you. God steps in and he cancels that attack. And then verse 10, the voice of the Lord speaks in first person through the psalmist as he prophesies these final words. And he says, be still. And know that I'm God. The literal word in the Greek for be still is rapha, which means to completely relax everything. It means to let fall or to let drop. Be still. How many remember when you were in school? Trust fall exercises. Anybody do that with your class? Where you would stand in front of the class and they would stand there and they'd say, okay, now close your eyes and fall backwards and we're going to catch you. And it was hard based on your level of popularity or who you teased that day. You're actually very handsome and you smell great, you know. Because you're waiting for people to catch you. You have to trust that they're going to catch you. That's difficult to just trust. And to take leave of your normal sensibility and senses and take leave of your normal best practice and just fall backward and trust someone's going to get you. Be still and know is God saying, trust me. Fall into my hands. I've got you. He's not saying just be quiet. He's not saying stop talking about it. He's not saying shush, just trust. He's saying fall back into my hands. If you believe I'm an ever-present help, I'm right here, right now. I've got you. Fall back and let me hold you. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Here's the humbling privilege that we have. If we can fall into a place of trust in the midst of difficulty, the release from your life will be praise in the nations and in the earth. Because what difference does faith in God make? The difference is a sane, whole loving, joy-filled, godly person who went through hell and somehow still has heaven in his visage, face, and outlook, and joy, and hope for tomorrow. What difference does God make? You become a living testimony that evokes praise in the nations of the earth. If you'll be still and let God hold you, your life will point people to his presence. You've heard this, let me say it again, just in the context today. Peace is not the absence of conflict, it's the awareness of the presence of God. We can drop our sense and really our illusion of control. Our illusion of control through our normal, and just let go and say, God, in this time of trouble, you've got me. You've got this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask the ministry team to just come join me here at the front quickly, if you would. There's layers and levels of what God is doing in this place through the preaching of this word this morning, how God is speaking to hearts and what God is wanting to lay hold of for individuals in this room. There's many people in this room, but you're an individual to the heart of God. God sees you. He's in the midst of your circumstance, your life right now. This morning, if you recognize in this moment that you need to surrender your life, you need to make the greatest trust fall of all, and just actually asking Jesus to be the Lord of your life, just being still, just letting go, just falling into his embrace. Be still and know, you know, I need to just say, Jesus, come be the Lord of my life. Come take charge of my life. Come step into the midst of my life. Maybe there's a storm going on and you need to know the ever-present shelter of the presence of the Lord in the midst of it. If you're here this morning and you'd say, maybe there's a storm, maybe it's just the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but you'd say, I know that I need to ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I need to confess him as the Lord of my life before we do anything else. If you're here and you'd say, yeah, that's me, Pastor, remember me. I want to pray that prayer this morning. I want you just to lift your hand because I want to make sure that we pray for you this morning. If you're here and you'd say, yes, I need to do that. Yeah, the very back. Yes, right here. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would there be anyone else? That's three people this morning saying, I'm crossing from death to life and coming into the kingdom of God. It's just amazing. Amazing, 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 amazing. Thank you, Jesus. In just a moment, those of you that lifted your hand, one of our prayer workers is just going to come meet with you, pray with you, connect with you, follow up with you. And that's all we want to do. But I want to say that when the heart is soft and you respond, God sees that. Even as prayer saying, Jesus, remember me. And today I know that God is changing hearts and lives all over this room. So amazing. God is so good. Would you stand with me this morning, every one of us? I want to say, if you're here this morning and you have just, you've had your eye on the storm, so to speak. There's just been difficulty. And maybe for some of you, it's an event even that is more in history, something that's back there, but it still plagues you today. A loss, a grief, a disappointment. Maybe it's an ongoing circumstance. You need a healing, you need a breakthrough in a relationship. This morning you'd say, I feel my need to step into a greater awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I want you just to lift your hands all over this room if that's you and say, yeah, I need to do that. I need to be made more aware of the presence of the Lord in the midst of my circumstance. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for every lifted hand over every person in this place. I ask you, Lord, Holy Spirit, to come and reveal the imminency, the immediacy of your presence in our lives. We choose to become more aware of your presence than our disappointment. We become more aware of your presence than our storm or our difficulty. We shift our focus, not to deny that it's happening, but to deny it the place of influencing our thought and our expectation. We shift our attention over to the supremacy of a good God, a loving God, a powerful God. We just declare, Lord, that you are good and you are loving, you are powerful, you are for us. And Father, I pray today, Lord, over every lifted hand that, Father, you would manifest your grace, manifest your presence in such a way that, Father, our awareness would truly shift, that we would recognize God is my refuge and strength, my ever-present help in my trouble. I thank you, God, we can confidently declare that therefore we will not fear no matter what's going on. Why? Because you're with us, God. You are with us. And Father, I pray for the overwhelming love of God to just sweep through this room. I pray, Father, that you would comfort grieving hearts, disappointed faith. I pray, Lord, today that you would cause for us to recognize that you are about to break open a new day, according to verse 5. You're about to break open a new day. I just declare that over this place, over every person within the sound of my voice. He's about to break open a new day. He's breaking open a new day. It's okay to get happy. It's okay to let joy come. It's okay for the laughter to begin to grip into your heart. It's okay to actually see things are changing. You're not stuck because there's a river and it's moving. And if you'll surrender to him, he's moving you. He's taking you into your new season, taking you into your new day by the river of his delight in Jesus' name. And I thank you for that, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You receive the word of the Lord this morning. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to make special invitation for those that are here that want prayer for any kind of need whatsoever, or as the Lord has just ministered to your heart through this word or through the worship, even those that responded for salvation, if you would come, we would love to just connect with you and just follow up with you. Not going to spam you or anything like that. We just want to follow up and help you on this journey. But if you came this morning, you need prayer for anything at all, we want to pray with you. We count that our privilege to be able to lay hands on you and agree in faith. And so we welcome you to come and do that. If you need to go, we bless you. Have an amazing week. And thanks for being in the house of the Lord here this morning. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca. or download our app for your mobile device.